Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life. Share your prayer requests or pray for others. Read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store.
Hey, I've titled my message this morning, All or Nothing. Why don't you turn to your neighbour this morning and say, All or Nothing. Turn the other way. Let your neighbour on the other side know the same thing. You know, I said just a moment ago, I'll say it again, there's lots to love about this church. I love the fact that as a church, we actually don't take ourselves too seriously. Who really appreciates that? I love that every Sunday morning, someone will make a joke about themselves, or there's always laughter in the room, and I love that we don't take ourselves too seriously. I mean, who doesn't want to be a part of a church where someone who can't sing to save themselves sings happy birthday and gives away free chocolate? I mean, honestly, how good is that? One of the things that I really, really love about our church is this. I love the culture of this church where we do our very, very best to be a church that is a church based on the Bible plus nothing, but also the Bible minus nothing. Whatever the Bible says, that's where we're going, right? Are you with me? And this message I want to preach this morning, All or Nothing, probably should give you a little disclaimer. Quite simply, is you may get a little bit uncomfortable this morning. I'm sorry about that. Actually, no, I'm not sorry about that. Because that's what the Bible does, right? It highlights areas in our life that need attention. And I don't know if you realize this, but Jesus didn't always say what people were longing to hear. I'm not saying I'm Jesus. No. Don't hear me say that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that the Bible doesn't say what you would like to hear. The Bible teaches what you need to hear. Is anyone still my friend? Man, I'm preaching to the angels this morning. The congregation's asleep, but I'll just look at the back wall. I'm kidding. Jesus always said what needed to be said. He said it with love, no question. He said it in a way that always caused people to go, hey, I'm probably just a little bit below the mark of what God really has planned for me. So I want to talk about this morning. Do you know in the Bible that in the NIV Bible there's over 723,000 words? That's a lot of words. Got up early this morning and just did a quick count. Over 723,000 words in the Bible, 4,268 of those in the NIV is the word all. The word all. It's a pretty common word in the Bible. It pops up pretty regularly. But this morning, we're going to have a look at some key texts. We're going to have a look at this whole concept of all or nothing. Turn to your neighbor again and say, all or nothing. All or nothing. Awesome. All or nothing. If you're taking notes this morning, it's going to be all up on the screen for you to follow on. I'm going to give you 3 points. My first one is this today. Exactly that. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. When it comes to a walk with Jesus, it's all or nothing. Have you heard me say that yet? Key text is this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. Open up your Bibles. Look to the screen, we'll read it together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24 reads this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one, to the one, and despise the other. You cannot, Jesus' words, you cannot serve both God and money. Let me give you some thoughts this morning. You know, Jesus didn't say store up some treasures on earth and store up some treasures in heaven. He didn't actually say that. He said, don't store up on earth, but do store up in heaven. You see, what Jesus is saying here is not a 50-50 deal. This text is not saying, be smart humans, hedge your bets, store up 50% on earth and 50% in heaven. Who knows, that's not what it's saying. Jesus is actually saying, no, it's all or nothing. Store up nothing on earth, but store up everything in heaven. It's not 50-50, it's 0-100. Now let me say, it's not that it's wrong to obtain worldly goods. I honestly believe, and I'm sure you're with me, God gives us material things to enjoy. Thank you, Jesus, for all that he's blessed us with. Is anyone with me this morning? But the question this morning is, where is your heart? Where does your heart lie? You see, if we're Christians, but our eyes are fixed on worldly things instead of heavenly things, reality is the light of Christ within us becomes shrouded by darkness. The light within us becomes shrouded in darkness. See, we cannot serve two masters. It's impossible. We can't be 50% Christian and 50% worldly. Who has ever encountered a two-faced person? No one in here. We're not saying, yes, that's me. Who knows it's awfully frustrating to be around someone who is two-faced? They say one thing, but then when they go about their business, they're a completely different person. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus has called you to a greater life than a 50-50, 50% Christian, 50% world. Jesus has called you to a life of 0% world, 100% Christianity. Are you still with me? See, we can't be sold out to Jesus if we sell out to the world. We can't do it. You know, lukewarm doesn't cut it. Why don't you turn to your neighbor this morning and say, lukewarm doesn't cut it. Turn the other side, say it again. Lukewarm doesn't cut it. Let me read this to you in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Listen to this. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot, and I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Can I say today that we might think that half-hearted devotion is better than no devotion at all? Can I graciously say this morning, sorry? Because that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says one or the other. Jesus would rather have us cold than have us lukewarm. I had a moment yesterday. Is there anyone here that loves coffee? Anyone at all? We were at home. It was a typical Saturday. One of the rare Saturdays, actually, where in our house that there were no sport commitments due to the long weekend. And so we decided to have a lazy Saturday morning. It was a beautiful thing, I tell you. We were up late and we decided to cook brunch because it was too late for breakfast and too early for lunch. So we cooked brunch and We did, you know, the usual cook up, the eggs, the bacon, the smashed avocado and the tomatoes, and it was beautiful. But then we decided to make a coffee to have with our brunch, and it was going to be fantastic, I tell you. We made the coffee, and I don't know what went wrong. I love coffee. I love hot coffee. I'll confess, I also love something called iced coffee. Does anyone like that at all? I like hot coffee and I like iced coffee. But yesterday, as we were about to have our brunch, I sit down and my coffee's there and it looked perfect. I like lattes and we got those nice little double-layered thermal glass. You know what I'm saying? And it was sitting on the table. I'm like, yeah, you're mine. I picked it up, looked beautiful. And I took the first mouthful and discovered something. I don't know what went wrong, but it was at that horrible stage where it's neither a hot coffee or an iced coffee. And it was lukewarm. Can I tell you, ever so graciously, I was very tempted to spit it out on the carpet. I didn't do that. But it paints a picture, doesn't it? Jesus says to us, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to, it's going to make the sound, but spit you out of my mouth. You see, we can't get away with straddling the fence. The Bible's really clear about this, people. We can't get away with 50-50. It's all or nothing. We can't think that lukewarm is actually good enough. Because can I tell you this morning, it's not my opinion, they're Jesus' words, lukewarm just doesn't cut it. You know, being lukewarm is actually distasteful to Jesus. And if we don't want to become spit on the ground, then we need to realize that it's all or nothing. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? That's a pretty good wake-up call. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching this and God's speaking to me. It's all or nothing. It's I give my all or it's nothing. Now, can I say this morning, this message does get better. I'm not condemning anyone this morning. Rather, I'm actually encouraging you this morning. Because I know that what Jesus is saying here is, come on, Christian, follower of Jesus, new convert, Christian for a long time, church, come on. Come on, there's a better way to live than 50-50. Because Jesus has called us, he's inviting us. Come on, Christian, come on. I want to take you on the greatest journey on the face of the earth, an all or nothing relationship with Jesus. Is anyone with me this morning? It's all or nothing. My second point this morning is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus offers us his all. Jesus offers us his all. John 10:10 reads, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You see, Jesus desires to give us all that there is. He has come that we may have the fullness of life. Can I tell you today, there is no other life that comes close to a life fulfilled through a relationship with Jesus. But you know, when we're half-hearted, when we only give 50%, we're actually allowing the devil to steal that fullness that Jesus died on a cross for. But reality is, if I realize that the best life is not found in giving half my heart to the world and the other half to the Lord, but rather giving 100% of my heart to Jesus. Can I tell you what an incredible, incredible, incredible life you will live when you're sold out to Jesus? Ephesians 3:16 to 19 reads this: I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Isn't it interesting? When we put it like this and we think about it like this, we are so susceptible as Christians, human beings, in living a 50-50. But that's not what Jesus, that's not what God has given to us. That's not what he has for us. You see, God doesn't give us 50% of his love. It's all or nothing. God doesn't give us 50% of his forgiveness. You're either forgiven or you're not. It's all or nothing. He doesn't give us 50% of his power. He didn't say that the Holy Spirit would come and fill us and empower us. But sorry, guys, that's only a 50% thing. It's all or nothing. See, God is sold out. Jesus gave his all or nothing. So let me ask you today, what gives us the right to only give him 50%? 50% of our loyalty, 50% of our devotion, 50% of our heart, 50% of our service. You see, I can't be rooted and established firmly in love if I'm only half-hearted, sold out to Jesus. How will we know, how will we ever know how wide, long, high, and deep Jesus' love is if we're only 50% committed to Jesus? You know, love can't get any bigger. Love doesn't get any bigger than when Jesus died on a cross for you and I. See, he didn't wait. Jesus never waited to see how much I'd love him in return before he gave his son Jesus. God didn't wait for that. He actually said, no, I'm sold out to this. This human race, it's all or nothing. I'm going to send my son, even though yet they don't even know who Jesus is, even though yet they don't even realize how much they need a relationship with me, I'm going to give all or nothing. You see, he paid it all. God gave us his all. So why would we ever want to hold back when we've been given so much through Christ? You see, it's all or nothing. But more to that, Jesus offers to each of us his all. Who's glad about that this morning? Is this helpful for anyone at all? My third point today is this. This is a big one. Are you willing, point number three, are you willing to give your all? Are you willing to give your all? Luke chapter 12, verse 25 to 33 reads this. Again, the words of Jesus, Bible plus nothing, Bible minus nothing. Verse 25 says, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." Is there anyone in the room that enjoyed that beautiful television program called Kath and Kim? Any fans of Kath and Kim this morning? I don't want to water down a moment or the Bible, but I'm a very visual person, and I read that text and I can see Jesus sitting there talking to the crowd going, "Look at me. Look at me." And I reckon that's what's going on in that text. Jesus is saying, "Hey, stop and listen. Switch your brain off for a moment. I know you're thinking about work. You're thinking about school. Some of you are now thinking about what's for lunch. The verses say pride. Don't worry about those things. Forget about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. God will take care of that. Just listen to me for a moment." It's like Jesus is saying, sit down and give this some thought. Think about this. Think about whether you can afford to follow me. That's a big question. Can you afford to follow Jesus? And further to that question, think about this one. Listen. Look at me. Listen. Further to that question, can you afford to follow me? Think about whether you can afford not to follow me. Give that some thought. Can you afford not to follow Jesus? See, we need to count the cost of giving it our all. See, Jesus doesn't want us to rush into making a commitment. He doesn't want us to rush into making a commitment to him. He wants us to think about it. Stop, think, listen. So at that point, you're all going, "Oh, what? You think Jesus doesn't want me to make a commitment?" No. What Jesus actually wants is he wants to make sure that we don't put off making a decision, and he wants to make sure that when we make a decision, it's all or nothing. It's not 50-50, it's 0-100. 100% Jesus. You know, 100%. A life lived 100% for Jesus is a radical, extreme, wholehearted 100% commitment. Let me ask you, are you willing to give up everything in order to follow Jesus? You know, this doesn't mean that if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to first strip ourselves of everything else that's going on in life. But Jesus is making a radical statement to show us this, that we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to put him first. You see, we need to be willing to make sacrifices and be willing to be made uncomfortable from time to time. Romans 8 and 17 says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. You know that an all or nothing relationship with Jesus means that we're not only in it for the blessings, but also for the hardships as well. If we're going to be sold out followers of Jesus, then we need to be willing to deal with persecutions, adversities, along with receiving the blessings and the benefits. Are you hearing me this morning? It's a big question, and it's a great question. Are you willing to give it your all? Are you willing to give it your all? I want to read a story to you this morning that I think, pardon the pun, it's a great picture. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And I'll read this story to you. And we'll wrap things up this morning. This is a great story. It's titled, "It Was a Case of All or Nothing." A wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art. They had everything in their collection from Picasso to Raphael, and they would often sit together and admire the great works of art. When the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went to war. He was very courageous and died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified and grieved deeply for the loss of his only son. About a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. A young man stood at the door with a large package in his hands. He said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I'm the soldier for whom your son gave his life. In fact, he saved many lives that day, and he was carrying me to safety when a bullet struck him in the heart and he died instantly. You know, he often talked about you and your incredible love for art." The young man stood at the door, held out his package. He says, "I know this isn't much, and I'm not really a great artist, but I think your son would have wanted you to have this." The father stood at the door. He opened the package, and it was a portrait of his one and only son, painted by the young man. The father stared in awe at the way the soldier had captured the personality of his son in the painting. The father was so drawn to the eyes of his son that his own eyes began to well up. He thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. The young man said, "Oh no, sir, I could never, ever repay what your son did for me. Consider this a gift." The father hung the portrait over his mantelpiece. Every time visitors came to his home, he took them to see the portrait of his son before he ever showed them any of the other great works in his household. The man died a few months later. There was to be a great auction of his paintings. Many influential people gathered, excited over seeing the great paintings and having an opportunity to purchase one for their collection. On the platform, behind the auctioneer, on the platform sat the painting of the son. And the auctioneer pounded his gavel. "We'll start this We'll start this bidding with this picture of the sun. The auctioneer asked, "Who will bid for this picture?" There was silence. Then a voice in the back of the room shouted, "We want to see the famous paintings. Skip this one." But the auctioneer persisted. "Will someone bid for this painting? Who will start the bidding? $100, $200. Another voice shouted angrily, "We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see the Van Goghs, the Rembrandts. Get on with the real bids." But still the auctioneer continued. The sun. Who will take the sun? Finally, a voice came from the very back of the room. It was the longtime gardener of the man and his son. "I'll give you $10 for the painting," he said. Being a poor man, it was all he could afford. The auctioneer said, "We have $10. Who will bid $20? From the back of the room again, "Give it to him for $10. Let's see the masters. $10 is the bid, but won't somebody bid $20? The crowd was becoming angry. They didn't want the picture of the sun. They wanted the more worthy investments for their collections. The auctioneer pounded his gavel, going once, going twice, sold for $10. A man sitting on the second row shouted with a snigger in his voice, "Now let's get on with the real collection." The auctioneer laid down his gavel and said these words, "I'm sorry, the auction is over." "What about the paintings?" "I'm sorry, when I was called to conduct this auction, I was told of a secret stipulation in the will. I was not allowed to reveal that stipulation until this time. But today, only the painting of the sun would be auctioned." You see, it was the father's wish. Whoever bought that painting would inherit the entire estate, including all the paintings you see here today. The man who took the sun gets everything. I don't know about you, church, but what an incredible, incredible picture that story paints. You see, God gave his son 2,000 years ago to die on a cruel cross. And much like the auctioneer, much like this story I've read to you this morning, his message today is simply this: the sun, who will take the sun? Because you see, whoever takes the sun gets everything, all or nothing. Whoever takes the sun gets everything, because it's all or nothing. Puts things into perspective, doesn't it? You know, just as one of those art collectors discovered on that Christmas day, the message is still today exactly the same. The love of a father whose greatest joy came from giving his own son, who went away and gave his all, gave his life to rescue others, gave his life to rescue me, gave his life to rescue you. And because of that Father's love, whoever takes the Son gets it all. All or nothing. See, because with Jesus, it was all or nothing. Jesus never hedged his bets. Can I tell you this morning, I love this message because it's not a message of condemnation. It's actually a message with a massive invitation. Come on, church. All or nothing. All or nothing. Jesus has called you to a life of all or nothing. I want to make a statement in closing this morning. And in light of our missions work and all that we do as a church, I thought this is really important. It says this. This church right here, Life Christian Church, exists that so no matter where we go, global or local, we create opportunities, connection, and environments for people to experience and enter an all or nothing relationship with Jesus. That's why we're here. So that you would know what it is to live an all or nothing relationship with Jesus, so that as a church we would make and create opportunities, make connection with people, facilitate environments for people to experience and enter an all or nothing relationship with Jesus.